We'll proceed to the fourth case of the day, Zhang v. Holder. Mr. Ma?
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peng Qin Ma for the petitioner in this case. Your Honors, this is the petitioner is in, one of the organizers of worker protest in China, and he was persecuted in China because of the his activities. And he seeks protection from the U.S. government because of his fears of future persecution. The immigration court and the BIA denied his request because they didn't believe him. And the judge's ruling on credibility is based on some perceived inconsistencies in his testimony and with his written application. Secondly, for lack of documentary evidence. First of all, the testimonial inconsistencies. We do not agree with the government's characterization of the facts. The government alleges that the reason for the protest was because the government ceased paying the workers. That was not the fact. The fact was there was a massive layoff of workers, and the petitioner was one of the victims of this massive layoff. They were the government was paying the workers 180 RMB each month. That's something like $25 a month. And the reason they organized the protest was because of the massive layoff. It's not the cease of the payment. It is relevant because in his testimony and in his written application, he forgot about some dates. For instance, the dates when the government ceased paying the workers, and the days what he received the termination notice. But in his court testimony, he verified that the termination notice was in May 1996, and that the payment was stopped in November 1996.
November 7, 97 was that? Or
96. Yeah, that's his court testimony. The inconsistency as to the dates is understandable. It's not very important because it's over 10 years. It's about 10 years past. The events about 10 years ago, sometimes it is understandable that one may not remember exactly. It's not significant. And secondly, the lack of documentary evidence. We live in this country with the privilege of protected communications with our family members, can never understand that the fears of people living under the eyes of a big brother watching everything. And he explained to the judge that he did not request his wife to send him a statement verifying that he participated in the protest, he was persecuted because he felt concerned about the safety of his family. And also as to he testified that there might be some newspaper report of the protest. He said, I don't have possession of that newspaper. It may still be in China, may not exist anymore. The credibility determination of the judge and the BIA based on trivial matters. The government would not agree with us, but they are trivial matters. Secondly, although we admit that the petitioner did not present evidence to show that the reasonable explanation as to why he did not file his application within 1 year after he entered this country, but he testified that when he was detained by the police was not aware that he was one of the organizers. Only after he left the country, the Chinese government discovered that he was one of the organizers. If he were to send back to China, it's more likely than not that he will be further persecuted because that they discovered after he left the country. And also, I would go back to the credibility issue. In the record, the judge said, you didn't mention in your written application certain injuries you suffered. We have to understand that the written application is just an outline of events that have happened with regard to this case. But we cannot have a detailed, very detailed account of the every detail of the events relating to his case. But he testified to the details in court. The testimony, there was no question in the judge's mind, and that if the facts established by his testimony, he established past the persecution based on his protest, not based on he was being laid off, being involved in the protest. That's based on political opinion. There was no question about that. But the only thing is the judge would not believe him. Our position is that the petitioner consistently testified to the facts of the case and also reasonably explained some perceived inconsistencies in his...
I think I appreciate your argument on the difficulty of gaining the documentation. And certainly the fear that contact in the mainland could cause problems for family. But in applying for the asylum, would you not think that that he was physically attacked would appear? I understand you don't want to go into all the detail in an asylum application, but that seemed to be something that would underscore the fear, and that absence is kind of striking, is it not? That you wouldn't mention that you were physically assaulted.
Your Honor, he did mention that he was beaten. He was physically beaten, and he was detained for some time. But he simply omitted to mention that he had some injuries. He did not fail to mention that he was physically beaten by the police.
In the asylum application.
Right. Yeah, he did mention that.
How serious were the injuries?
He testified that he had two broken ribs and also a loose tooth. And later on, the tooth had to be removed. He didn't mention it in the written outline, the statement, but he did testify in court. But he did mention that he was physically beaten. He was detained. And also, Your Honor, thank you for reminding me. The government also claims that because he in his written application, he has said more than 10 days of detention, but in his testimony, he said over the 20 days. About 20 years ago, that's not a significant inconsistency. I have nothing more to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ma. Ms. Fetours?
May it please the Court, Thomas Fetouros for the Attorney General. Mr. Zhang has failed to cite to any evidence that compels the conclusion that he testified credibly or that corroborating evidence was unavailable. I'd like to pick up directly on the Court's question about his omission about the specific injuries. He did in fact state in his declaration that he was beaten by the police. At his testimony, for the first time, he said that two of my ribs were broken and my tooth was broken to such an extent that it later had to be extracted. Now, the petitioner has stated, well, this could be consistent. Well, the immigration judge rightfully asked, why did you not include this specific information in your declaration? Mr. Zhang did not say, well, I thought that it was included when I made the statement about being beaten. He said, I forgot. As in, I forgot that my ribs were broken. I forgot that my tooth was broken. That was the nub of the problem the immigration judge had. And not only did he say that he forgot, not that I thought that I had included it or that this beating somehow included this broken rib, but that I forgot, he began to laugh and smile, which the immigration judge summarized on the record before Mr. Zhang and said, you know, you're laughing and smiling. I'm talking about serious information here, serious things that you wouldn't forget, outlining to Mr. Zhang that he is making a demeanor finding. Mr. Zhang.
How good is the English of this man?
Well, this, I don't believe that he, I don't know what his English was. I know that this was translated. And the immigration judge, in his decision, takes pains to say, I don't normally make demeanor findings. They're very difficult to make in the context of two different cultures. But in this case, after Mr. Zhang has testified to a series of inconsistencies, and then he is pegged on this aspect, why did you not include this information? He's saying, I forgot, begins to laugh and smile. The immigration judge is not silent about that. He summarizes what Mr. Zhang has done, provides him the opportunity to explain why he's laughing and smiling, and Mr. Zhang again repeats, I forgot. That inconsistency, that demeanor finding alone provides substantial evidence, but we have more in this matter. Mr. Zhang, in his declaration, in contrast to what petitioner has said today, on page 169 of the record, he has his declaration. He talks about why he participated in this protest and specifically talked about being terminated and receiving a monthly payment and then the government not making that monthly payment, which resulted in five of his friends deciding purportedly to organize this demonstration. When he was fired and when he stopped receiving payments were the direct reason that he gave for why he participated in this protest. And Mr. Zhang's counsel recognized that. On direct examination, Mr. Zhang testified that he was fired in July of 1997. And his counsel immediately says, well, that's in conflict with participating in a protest in March. Now, if Mr. Zhang wanted to explain, well, I was still employed, I was protesting for my friends, or I didn't get enough money, he didn't say that. He immediately changed his testimony to say, no, I was terminated in May or June of 1996, and I received unemployment benefits until November of 96. Statements that are inconsistent, or that are consistent with participating in a protest in 97. But Mr. Zhang had a problem, because in his declaration, he stated that he was terminated in January of 97. So on cross-examination, he's confronted with that, that he wasn't terminated in May or June of 96. So he immediately says, no, my declaration is correct. That is when I was terminated. And then I received monthly payments until November of 97, directly in contrast to his corrected testimony from direct. Then on redirect, sensing the problem, apparently, with his testimony, his attorney attempts to elicit some sort of a consistent statement. And on pages 127, 128, a remarkable dialogue occurs where Mr. Zhang testifies to all of these dates. He testifies to a date in May, in 96, dates in 97, often in the same line, finally prompting the immigration judge to summarize why he had a problem. He said, half the time you've testified that this occurred in 96, before the protest, half the time you've testified that it's in 97. Can you see why I'm confused? To which Mr. Zhang said yes. So at this point, he knows fully what this conflict is. He's known it since his direct examination. At one point, another point, the immigration judge actually suggested to him, don't you mean you're talking about 96? And he came back with 97. Mr. Zhang responds to the immigration judge at the end of his proceedings that, yes, I understand your problem, provides no further explanation. But the immigration judge doesn't even stop there. He turns to Mr. Zhang's counsel and says, do you want to ask any more questions about this to clarify it? And at this point, Mr. Zhang's counsel says no. So it's not just the inconsistency. It's also Mr. Zhang's failure to explain this inconsistency or even recognize that it's a problem, even though he's continually prompted to do so. We have this inconsistency. We have his issues with his demeanor and his statements about his injuries. On top of that, Mr. Zhang has stated that there were some 2,500 people that participated in this protest, that there was media coverage of this protest, and yet he brought no materials to the court. In fact, prior to the hearing, he asked for time to obtain documents from China and received 6 months to do so, and he produced only his birth certificate. This is not just his wife alone that he could have asked for. They asked, do you have friends that could have provided you statements? And he said, yes. Friends that could have provided you any other documentation. Yes, I didn't bring it with me. And He did testify that he didn't want to tell his wife about his asylum claim, but he still asked her to send his birth certificate. He makes no mention about why he couldn't have had his unemployment notice sent to him, which he said he was given written statements, or any other thing that would not be necessarily related to his asylum application or the fact that he applied, but rather evidence of his employment at all whatsoever that he wouldn't have to tell his wife about. But that discounts all the other people he could have asked for that he admitted that he could be in regular contact with and easily obtain it. And that's a separate, independent ground, the lack of corroboration. The agency in this matter properly made its credibility determination consistent with the amendments in the Real ID Act, and it made its corroboration finding consistent with the Real ID Act amendments. For these reasons, and the reasons set forth in our opening brief, the agency's decision should be affirmed, and this petition for review denied.
Thank you, Mr. Torres. Mr. Maya?
Your Honor, again, the dates and the smile. The petitioner testified under the condition of using an interpreter, and he does not speak English. That's the clarify. One issue is not before the court, because the immigration judge made comments regarding the petitioner smiling when asked about some issues. The judge also found that Mr. Zhang's application was frivolous because of the inconsistencies. That issue is not before this court because the BIA rejected the judge's finding. The dates, again, that's that happened 10 years ago. Even it was...
Mr. Mott, let me ask you, but I understand your argument about the decade-long gap.
Right.
Was there anything in the record to indicate whether the petitioner was in contact with anyone during those decades in China?
He contacted his wife.
No, I appreciate that. That's right. With regard to the birth certificate. But
right.
Your suggestion was that a concern about contacting others for fear of retribution against them, perhaps, or his family. Was he pretty much, or does the record suggest he only contacted his wife on any matter during this stay in the United States?
No. Just he testified that he contacted his wife asking for the birth certificate, and he testified that he was in regular contact with his wife, but he didn't mention that he was seeking asylum because of his concern about the safety of his family. And also, he testified that his wife informed him that after he left China, and the government discovered that he was one of the organizers and not just one of the members of the protesters, just accidentally was arrested because he was at the front of the protest. They discovered that he was one of the organizers. That's why he felt his safety was his life was in danger. For this reason, the decision of the BIA should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Thurston. Thank you. And the case is taken under advisement.